Welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace. This is Phil Giuliani and Steve Garchar. And that's the music they were playing at the party. In fact, Paul Wilbur wasn't there live, but somebody was already anticipating his music. Anyway, if you ever get a chance to see Paul Wilbur in concert, please go. It's worth driving even, well, Steve and I would drive even several hundred miles to go. But
he's going to be in Lancaster on April 10th at Fairfield Christian Church?
Fairfield Christian Center. In Lancaster. Saturday the 10th. And you can check the website at wilburministries.com. They have his whole itinerary. And in July, he's going to be here in our area. He's going to be at Tikvat Israel and a couple of other churches in the area. And we'll remind you more about that as time goes on. Because Steve and I tend to talk about him a lot. So we'll remind you. We've been going through the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And during the break, we were talking about this. And we thought it would be good if Steve would read the part that has to do with the older son so we could kind of clarify this as we go along.
Right. And we'll pick this up in Luke chapter 15, verse 25. Now, the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, As he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, and has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I've served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found."
Oh, reminds me of a song.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. And we talked about already how the servant went out and he complained to the servant. But then, you know, what's really cool here is the father himself comes out.
Yeah.
Now, just like the father ran to where the other son was coming home, the father now goes out to talk to the older son. Now, you know, the older son gets kind of a bad rap every time somebody teaches this parable. But when you think about it, you know, this is a guy who's, you know, following the rules, doing the work, doing what his father wants him to do. The father is closely connected to this guy. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, the father's not going to go out and condemn him for doing what he wants him to do.
Right.
In other words, everybody doesn't have to have a radical testimony.
Right.
There's some people that have, you know, kind of more mild testimonies, and that's okay.
Right.
Not everybody has to be a drug addict or a prostitute or a criminal or,
yeah,
you know, some such thing.
The more radical the testimony is, usually the further away you were from the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, when you hear somebody give a radical testimony, everybody in the congregation goes, "Ooh, wow."
Yeah.
And when somebody gets up and says, "Well, my testimony is I followed the rules and I served the Lord and I did what I was supposed to do," everybody goes, "Oh, okay.
All right.
That's boring." But it's important. And even though it is important, we've been talking about his attitude and all this. You know, why is there a party for him? What's he doing back here? Party should be for me. I'm the one who's doing the rules. Doesn't understand that he also needs grace and forgiveness, but he doesn't understand how important the grace and forgiveness is to the brother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's more of an example. He can be an example of the law and the legalist people. And there's, you know, legalists in, well, probably every denomination, but
yeah,
most denominations. And, you know, he's struggling with this concept of grace because here's this young boy who gets what he doesn't deserve.
Right.
He deserves punishment. He deserves exile. He deserves condemnation. But he gets the robes and the rings and the fatted calf and the music and the dancing and
all the stuff.
Yeah, all this cool stuff. I mean, this was a lot more fun than when he was having the parties.
Yeah.
And, you know, his next reaction, the older son, is he boasts about himself. He says, look, I've been obedient. I've been working. I've been following the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, and this is a normal human reaction. This isn't just because this guy's, you know, somehow abnormal.
Right.
It's just like if you're at a job and some guy who's slouching around, not doing anything, gets a big raise and you don't get a raise and you've been working 60 hours a week for your boss, you say, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. Haven't missed a day on time all the time. And the guy that's late comes in and gets a promotion. Yeah. Yeah.
And the, you know, the parable of the workers in the vineyard, you know, the guy started at 7:30 and the other guy started at 4:30 and they all get the same amount of money. And right. The guys who worked all day go, hey, wait a minute.
What's up with that?
Yeah. I mean, I've been out here in the sun. So, you know, he feels that the father owes him. And many people who are like the older son tell this to God. Mm-hmm. I've been doing what you want me to do. I've been following these rules. I've been going to church every Sunday. I've been doing the ministry thing. Mm-hmm. I've been doing my scripture study. I've been doing my prayers.
Right.
This guy has been carousing.
Right.
So why is there a party for him? And, you know, the one thing that even though everyone is a sinner, I mean, there's not anybody around who's not a sinner. At least, you know, I don't know anybody.
Me neither.
And, you know, and since Paul in Romans says there's not one who's righteous, not one, you know, when somebody says to you, well, I'm a good person, you say, well, I know that you're a sinner. And they say, well, you don't even know me. I go, well, I don't have to know you that because the Bible tells me there's not one who's righteous.
Yeah.
And, you know, the person like the older son should, rather than boasting about all that he's done, should really be thankful that he's avoided the serious sins that this other guy's done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a grace too. The father, in this case, God, has kept him close, has not let, you know, he hasn't rebelled. He hasn't done all this serious stuff that the other boy did. And, you know, rather than boasting, he should be thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then he goes into this, hey, how come he's got the fatted calf and I never had any parties? You know, I didn't even get a goat. You know, I never got to even order pizza when my friends were over, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, we don't even know if this older boy ever even asked his father for a party, even asked his father to give him something. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
The father probably would have complied had he asked him, you know?
Right. Because if the father gave the younger son his inheritance when he asked him for his inheritance.
Yeah, exactly.
It would make sense to reason that the father probably would have.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you want a goat? I'll give you a goat.
Yeah. And go pick a goat and we'll cook it. But, you know, and on the other hand, too, he doesn't think about all the stuff that the father has given him and done for him. He's been living in the house. He's been living nice. He's got servants. He's been eating there.
He's kind
got
of
nice clothes.
He's almost becoming as short-sighted as the younger son was. When he said, gosh, I got to get away from all this stuff. You know, this is not right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a different kind of a rebellion. And again, you know, remember who's listening to this, the common people, the sinners and the Pharisees,
right.
The holy people who are sinners, but don't like to talk about the fact that they're sinners and what's even worse, may not realize that they're sinners because what he's doing here, like they did, was this holier than thou kind of thinking. You know, people say, well, you're holier than thou kind of,
you know,
we're the holy guys and those people are sinners. He's
right.
Saying, I'm the holy guy. That guy's a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gotten any of this stuff when I've been here all these years.
Right.
And we shouldn't even be in the same house.
Yeah.
The Pharisees wouldn't have let those people that were out in the street listening to Jesus into the inner part of the temple to kind of hang out with them, they would have been repulsed by that.
Unclean.
And as you said, you know, they were always asking the disciples, why does your master hang around with sinners?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, he doesn't even call him his brother. He says, your son, or in some translation, that son of yours. He doesn't even want to be associated with them on a brotherly level. Mm-hmm. Because he feels he's holier than him.
Mm-hmm. And maybe deserves more of the father's, and maybe deserves more of the inheritance than actually that his brother did. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because, as you said, this whole chapter, Jesus is talking about the lost sheep and, you know, which one of you doesn't go out. If you have a herd of 99 that are there and you see that one's missing, you're going to go out and find that sheep and you're going to put them on your shoulders and bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder if the sheep are going, hey, why is that guy getting a ride on his shoulder? I don't know. But anyway, you know, you have this image of, and that's where really, you know, the image of Jesus as the good shepherd, you know, because he laid down his life for his sheep and that he would go out and search for the lost sheep.
Yes.
He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yes.
You know, he even told the Pharisees that. Or not the Pharisees, but the was it the woman that was begging for one of those. But anyway, he said it. It's in the good news. So, you know, he's saying that I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Right.
And
they said it to the woman.
And he didn't come for the, you know, a physician, you know, doesn't, you know, someone who's not sick doesn't need a physician. And again, this is another parable, I think, that illustrates that. And as you're saying, the Pharisees, they upheld the, you know, they were trying to uphold the law. They taught the law.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he, you know, Jesus also says that, you know, the Gentiles would lord things over their,
yes,
their servants. And they weren't to do, they,
right,
you know, you're not to do this to your people.
Right.
You're not to lord this over them so it becomes a heavy yoke or a heavy burden for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're talking about the workers in the vineyard, I think that parable goes really well with the elder son because you have, you know, workers that came in at the very start of the day and were given a wage. In the middle of the day, they went and got more workers and gave them the same wage as the ones who,
yes,
they were going to work half a day and they were going to get the whole day's wage.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the people that came in like right before quitting time, well, they get the whole wage too.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's, again, it's a natural human reaction to go, hey, wait a minute. I've worked for 8 hours.
Yeah.
This guy only worked for 1 hour.
Yeah.
Why is he getting the same pay as I'm getting?
Mm-hmm.
And not seeing, you know, not really seeing that these parables are talking about the kingdom and what does God have prepared for us.
Amen.
Everything that we're going to share as an heir to the kingdom because we're brought into that by the blood of the Lamb,
yes,
by the blood of Christ, you know.
Yes.
So it's...
And, you know, God many times in the Old Testament, the Tanakh says, you know, I can show mercy to who I want and I can... You know, who I don't want to, I don't have to. And, you know, I'm sovereign. And, you know, even in that parable, you know, the owner says, hey, it's, you know, my money, my vineyard. I can pay whatever I want.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because our humanness, you know, kind of gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times people, well, you can even look at it when you look at ages of people. Like if somebody dies when they're 90, say, oh, that's a really nice life. You're 90 years old. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody dies when they're 40 or 20, say, oh, this is horrible. It's a horrible tragedy because the other guy's 90 and this guy's 20.
Right.
But in the scope of eternity, what difference is there between a 90-year-old and a 20-year-old? I mean, 28 billion years from now,
yeah,
nobody's going to remember that this guy was 90 and this guy was 20.
Right.
And they hopefully be in heaven together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also, you know, hopefully, I don't think we'll have it in heaven, but if you have this kind of Pharisee outlook where you say, what's this guy doing here? I remember when he was a jerk.
Yeah. How'd you get in?
Yeah. But, you know, we'll finish up with this, and I think we should say a little bit more about the vineyard parable. But, you know, it's kind of nice that the father goes out there and talks to this older boy very nicely. Mm-hmm. Doesn't scold him either. He doesn't say, listen, this is what I'm doing, and too bad, and the boy's back, and we're having the party, and if you don't like it, don't come. He talks to him actually very nicely and shows grace to him too. You know, he goes out. He doesn't send another servant out to say, hey, have my other son come in because he's missing the party. And the guy, you know, the father, when he met the prodigal coming back, he never like recounted all his sins.
Right.
He never said, hey, you know what? You took the money, you took your stuff, you went over there, you had parties, you drank, you ate, you did whatever, you lived with pigs, and now you're back. Mm-hmm. The older boy starts to talk about the sins of the younger one. He took your money with harlots. I mean, nobody ever mentioned harlots before. The older boy kind of mentions it. And, you know, he kind of overstates the sins that the younger boy has done. Mm-hmm. And the father doesn't do that.
Right.
You know, he didn't spend all his father's money. They're still living in a really nice place. Mm-hmm. Big house, big estate. And, you know, the older boy is kind of envying the pardon that he's given, that the father's given to this penitent son. Mm-hmm. And he's really upset about it.
Yeah.
And says, let me tell you what that guy's done.
Right. And, you know, in our communities, in our Christian communities, no matter, you know, what denomination you are or anything like that, it's easy to get into this.
Yeah.
In communities, in churches, mm-hmm. and not really welcome the one who has really sinned back into the fold. And it's a real struggle, I think, at times to really shepherd, to be able to shepherd in that way, to invite someone back into the fold who has really gone astray, mm-hmm. and allow them to come back in and not condemn them.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really hard thing, I think, for anyone who is a believer and in a position of maybe leadership, a position of ministry, who mm-hmm. has ministry. You know, it's all about service. Mm-hmm. It's all about serving the Lord and his people and bringing people back into the fold. You know, and if they've fallen, it's our responsibility to really try and bring them back into the fold.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's part of the kingdom work.
Yeah. And it could be difficult at times.
Yes.
You know, with our own human emotions and all the
and,
stuff
you know,
we've got.
It, you know, like I've said so many times before, it's really amazing when you think about what we are, that God uses us to proclaim his kingdom, proclaim his word, mm-hmm. to do his work here.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about this older son talking about the faults of the younger one and saying, look all the stuff he did, and you still like him? You're still having mm-hmm. a party? I mean, look at the things that Jesus tolerated with the people he knew. Like, how many times did he sit there and listen to these guys? We want to know, can I sit on your left and can I sit on your right? Who's the greatest one? And, oh, let me tell you. Blah, blah. He probably just sat there shaking his head.
Oh, not again.
But he tolerated all that. Mm-hmm. Because this was the kingdom. This was the, mm-hmm. the proclamation of the kingdom. This was what he came to do.
Right.
And what's even more amazing is that these guys then went out and converted people mm-hmm. and brought them into the kingdom.
Right.
By just proclaiming that word. And it's really quite amazing.
It is. It is amazing how the kingdom works.
Yeah. And, you know, the father also tries to point out to the older son that just because there's a party going on for the younger one, that's not a rejection of the older one. That's just a happiness that this guy's back.
Right, right.
And like you were saying, I mean, in probably a lot of churches, if some, you know, raggedy person who smelled like pigs came in, most people would turn and say, what's he doing here? When we really should jump out of the seat and go, hey, I'm glad you're here, man. Let's have a party.
Let's have a party. There was Francis McNutt and Judith McNutt, they have Healing Christian mm-hmm. or Christian Healing Ministries mm-hmm. I think it's in Jacksonville, Florida. And they're in Florida somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But I remember seeing a healing workshop, and Judith McNutt was talking about ministering to people. Mm-hmm. And she said before she would go and pray with people, she would always pray and ask God for the grace to see them through his eyes, that she can see them with his love and with his mercy, because she knew that she was incapable of doing that in her own humanness.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's something that is, you know, stuck with me in ministry,
yeah.
in trying to walk with people, because it really speaks to knowing your own human limitations and knowing that God is so much bigger than I am.
Wow. Yeah, and it goes along with this story pretty well.
Yes, it does.
Whew. Well, we're coming up on another break, so we'll let you enjoy a little Paul Wilbur music, and we'll be back in a minute.
And victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy, and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for